Get them some donations right now.
Where should we leave the envelope?
Well, you could donate to WSB by calling right now at 631-632-6901.
What is the form for that?
Well, if you're afraid of the feds, you could donate on the web, www.wsb.fm.
And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. It's Emmanuel Goldstein here, joined tonight by Kyle.
Of course, yeah.
Well, we're not in the studio. Actually, we haven't been in the studio since COVID, but we're not in the makeshift studio. We're not in New York. We're actually currently right now in the beautiful town of Lorton, Virginia. That's right, Lorton. We spent the night driving here because we are embarking on an adventure. Yes, yet another one of our travel adventures. This time, though, we're doing something that neither one of us has ever done before. We are taking the auto train down to Florida. Yeah, that's it's really quite an amazing adventure that I've always wanted to try this. I've always wanted to see what it's like to drive your car onto a train with permission and take it overnight down south to as south as you can go. Well, actually, it's not really as south as you can go because they dump you in it. I guess that's probably a harsh word too. You wind up in a place called Sanford, Florida. Now, I've never heard of Sanford, Florida. I've never heard of Lorton, Virginia. But apparently Amtrak figured these are the two places that we're going to connect, and people can just kind of find their way from there. So I guess, you know, Kyle, what we did last night, we spent hours driving to a train station. And it's really the only train that you would have to drive that amount of time to get to. And I say that because any other train you can get to by taking a train. For instance, let's say I wanted to go to Chicago Union Station. I wouldn't have to drive all night to get there. I could hop on a train in Moynihan, in Penn Station, and take that to Chicago Union Station. You can't do that with this train. You can't take a train to Lorton, Virginia. The only train that goes to Lorton, Virginia is the auto train. And the only way you're going to get on the auto train is if you have an auto and a ticket. And if you have those two things, then they welcome you aboard. But if you don't have those, you can't get on. So basically, this was the only way to get to this train, was to drive all night. Kind of puts it in perspective, right?
Yeah, and I'm not driving on this trip. I'm just passengering and navigating because I'm in between my driver's license. But I'll fix that. And you volunteered because you like driving so much, so I'm just going to kick back and enjoy the ride.
All right, well, you know, a little bit of modifying things there. But, yeah, I said, you know what, I'll do this. I'm not particularly happy about doing 100% of the driving, but it's okay, fine. You know, I find ways to amuse myself. Anyway, right now, we're in Lorton, Virginia. We're going to find a way around. We have to board the train, I think, by 2 o'clock in that area, and it's like 11:30 now, so we have time. But that process takes hours, like a couple of hours, because you have all these cars that people have to, the Amtrak people have to drive your car onto the cargo car. I guess that's what they call it. Cars, train cars that have cars on them. You know, the car carriers, I suppose. Basically, it's the longest passenger train, definitely in the United States, I think in the world, because I can't think of anything that would be longer than this. I have a recording, I'm going to play it right now, of the auto train passing by. It's 17 passenger cars and 27 cargo cars. Yeah, so that's quite a lot of cars for a passenger train. And we're going to explore it pretty thoroughly. You know, basically we leave, I think, at 5 p.m. and we arrive, I think, 9 or 10 in the morning in Florida, if things go well. Sometimes this train is very late, and it can really have a cascading effect. So that's the first part of our adventure. We'll probably see you on the train. But for now, why don't you enjoy the sound of the auto train as it passes with its locomotive, 17 passenger cars, and 27 cargo cars. Well, here we are on the auto train. We've actually been on this thing for about 17 hours or so. Left at 5 p.m. from Lorton, and it's coming up on 11 a.m. We're in Florida, approaching Sanford. It's about an hour late. It's been a good ride. I mean, this is a weird train. We walked the length of it, 16 cars, 16 passenger cars, that is. A bunch more, about 30 cars that have cars in them, including our car, which, by the way, we had a bit of an issue with. We didn't have an issue with it. They had an issue with our car. After we gave it to them and we were waiting in the massive waiting room to board the train, we heard our car being announced. They give you a three-digit number that they stick on the side of your door, and that's your number. And we heard our number being called, and they were having trouble with our car. They couldn't... Well, when I went to the guy, he said they're having trouble turning it off.
Yeah, it turns out the steering wheel lock and the ignition switch were preventing him from turning off the motor and removing the key. And in any event, it may have been that they were rushing to get things loaded and it was a maybe more inexperienced person, but I described what they needed to do because it is a little bit older vehicle and things are getting a little loose and, you know, you gotta basically work it the right way and relieve the tension and all that. And it was as good a description as I could give, and I never heard anything else. He just said, go ahead and go inside. I'll call you if you need anything else. So I think they've worked it out.
But there is a chance that our car is still running on this train in another car somewhere. We'll find out. We'll find out in about an hour or so. Well, actually, when we arrive in Sanford, we have to wait. All the cars are taken off of the cargo cars. I don't know how to describe them. They're cars, but they have cars in them.
Car carriers.
Okay. So it's in there. Hopefully it's okay. Hopefully they can figure out how to start it. See, it's a standard transmission. And in America, people don't drive standards. In fact, they try not to drive standards. But for God's sake, people, they're called standard. You know, this is one time where I feel like I'm embracing the default, and everybody else is trying to do something else. I find it more relaxing to drive standard, you know, to be able to shift. I thought that's where they would have trouble. I thought they might not know how to shift. And maybe they have trouble with that, too. Who knows? We have all kinds of surprises awaiting for us when we see what has happened to our car. But overall, it's been a fairly smooth trip, would you say?
Yeah, and the configuration for these cars, some of them are extended cars with a hot water and coffee area in the middle, which is unusual. We haven't seen those kinds of passenger cars, but they're very similar to the Superliners and the other passenger trains we've been on in other parts of the Amtrak network. But this configuration is unique and really is meant for carrying all of these drivers and their families and friends that are coming with them. And it's more or less what you might expect. Very smooth loading process, a big sort of passenger boarding and waiting area, and then they started boarding up the train. So we got out on the platform and then made our way once it started traveling. So it was just really kind of methodic and a very easy process. I thought it would be a little more cumbersome, but they really have it down.
Yeah, it's the only train that runs that route from what's the name of the town in Virginia? I keep forgetting it. Lorton to Sanford. I'm sorry, I've never heard of these places before. But I don't think there's any other train that stops in Lorton. There's a commuter line, VRE, Virginia Rail Express, is that what it is? It's a commuter line, but it only runs during rush hours.
Regional Express.
Okay, whatever. It's it's a good start, but they really need to do more, I think. And that train goes by occasionally, but I don't think any Amtrak trains other than the auto train stop at Lorton or Sanford.
We did see some of the two newer Amtrak locomotives either moving car carrier rolling stock around the yard, or it was prepping for another departure of this very train using the newer locomotives. But we're using the older, I believe, Siemens locomotives that are used heavily on the other routes.
Well, we haven't seen our locomotive yet because once you get on this train, you can't get off. It's a it's a nonstop from one place to probably the longest nonstop in the world. So we can't go out and look, but we did see those newer locomotives sitting next to our train, and we wound up not taking those ones.
Yeah, the best look I got was maybe when we were going around some curves, and I saw the gray, you know, the darker, the sort of older locomotives up there. And the other thing was when we went on our walk, I pressed my face up, and the locomotives are not facing one another, so the lead locomotive has another locomotive opposite it, and so I was able to look at the windshield of that locomotive.
See, I'm hearing this for the first time. So you saw the locomotives in the train. I didn't know when they were pressed up against the window you were actually getting that information. So we have two locomotives in the front.
Yeah, and I know it was the locomotive because it was the windshield, and there was like a sun visor in there to keep the sun out. So I don't know, it's just clearly a different kind of rail car.
Now, you may have heard Kyle mention our walk. Yes, we walked the length of the train while the train was moving, and that's a total of 16 passenger cars, as mentioned. So that's a long walk. We went through, and it's double-decker, too. I think all the cars are called Superliners. But the ones you're describing with the coffee and the staircase in the middle, I think those are newer Superliners, I think. That's just my view. But they don't run Superliners in New York because they're too tall for the bridges, or tunnels, rather. That's probably why we have to load in Virginia. But west of Chicago, all Superliners as well.
Yeah, I was looking at things like the floor covering to like see how worn it was, to try to gauge, because you said, oh, these are brand new, and I was like looking at the floor like, yeah, sure, brand new, you know, it was pretty worn.
You doubt me.
Well, I'm just looking for clues, like, is what you're saying actually true? You know, if this is so new, why does X or Y or Z look like that? And so, you know, it's definitely getting used, but I imagine they are of the newer Superliners, because granted, many of the Superliners are decades old and have only recently been, like, retrimmed on the interior.
Yeah, and I'd never seen a car like that either. It's possible they only run them on this route, which we've never been on before, so that's also a possibility. So anyway, we're here in Florida now, looking out the window. How would you describe what we've been seeing in this? It's cloudy, for one thing.
Yeah, right now we're passing sort of a nursery where there's a lot of shrubs and things, and it's a very sort of agrarian-looking area with big fields. And this is actually abutting what I think is some waterway or another. We've been...
Ladies and gentlemen, if you're seeing those black sparks outside, it is wondering what's underneath those tarps. Those are Florida's famous ferns. Florida is known as the fern capital of the United States, and this area harvests ferns all year round. Black tarps protect the ferns from direct sunlight and extreme moisture year around. Welcome to Seville, Florida.
As you can hear, occasionally we get little snippets of detail, so it was almost like she was listening to you, Kyle, and explained what it is we're passing.
Yes, we're passing a nursery, and we are also looking at these green fields with black shade coverings over them, and it is, as she said, in support of the fern industry, which, as someone from the Northwest, I have a special place in my heart for ferns and other sorts of forest ground cover. So that's really cool. This is, all, of course, the more tropical variety, I would imagine. But there's a lot of trees with, like, moss, and it's giving me that kind of almost reminiscent of, like, New Orleans, where you have a little bit of, like, tropical flora and fauna mixed with, like, certain kinds of trees and stuff, but much more deciduous trees, not as many evergreens and stuff. Or if there are evergreens, are these like little short spindly ones? I don't know how to describe them. They seem to be farming some of those. But yeah, just that mixed in with like palms and other types of vegetation is kind of interesting. It is a overcast day and it's raining, so this is uncharacteristic of what we would have expected to see in Florida, but pleasant all the same.
Yeah, well, it's I don't know about this. Maybe it's always overcast in Florida. It's all a big lie to get us to come down here saying it's sunny and pleasant constantly. Yeah, we've been admiring the scenery as we've gone down through Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, and now Florida. And that's the beauty of a train. You can just watch the world go by. The other really cool thing, as we've mentioned in previous shows, are mealtimes, where you get to meet other people. Because what happens is you sit at a table and there's two people on one side, two people on the other, and unless you're traveling in a group of four, you're going to meet other people. And that's always a pleasant thing. Yesterday at dinner we met a couple traveling down to Florida with their car, and they were just so pleasant to talk to. Turned out the woman was a retired worker at Planned Parenthood, and that's, you know, it's kind of interesting because dropping that bit of information, you'd think maybe that's something that people would be a little cautious about. I'm happy she was comfortable enough to just tell us that, and of course we acknowledged how important that was. And you just had a really, really good conversation.
Yeah, having the right response, at least for my personal beliefs, was a really important way of acknowledging what her sharing of that is, and that we were not going to be aghast or anything. But I just said that's noble work, but that's where I'm coming from. So it was very pleasant from there on out, and her husband's equally interesting and retired, and they had just such a wonderful disposition for adventure and sharing their time together outside of the workplace. So it was very cool and inspiring to share what we've experienced in travel and learn a little bit about where they're from and what they're doing, and revealing a little bit of our plans and why, and you know, I get to, you know, be more open. But it's that comfort with strangers. You sometimes, you know, knowing you may never have the chance to gather with that person again, it creates a certain level of intimacy, especially over a meal. So just doing that was really good. And you can strike out with the community seating there, but we've had really interesting conversations. This couple being one of the first conversations, but we really lucked out because people are just generally interesting, especially on the train. And more often than not, like you said, it's a really amazing conversation.
Well, you know, we're all going through a common experience of riding this thing, and we're all on it for, you know, practically a full day. So there's that. But, you know, the more you travel, the more stories you have to tell, the more experiences you can share and inspire somebody else to try going to this place instead. You mentioned sometimes you strike out, but, you know, I can think of, I don't know, maybe one time where somebody didn't really talk to us.
And that's just about what you'd get, is they're shut down, they're closed to engaging, and that's, humans can pick up on that in you know, half a blink of an eye. Like, you know, when someone is open and interested. We had one instance where some woman was like on the phone the entire time.
No, that was a good, I mean, yeah, she was basically there was a conflict back home, and I think her daughter had some friends over, and there was some kind of a fight that was going on, and she was basically laying down the law, saying nobody's going to my house. And, you know, this was, I think, in Chicago this was taking place. And, you know, we had no problem with this. In fact, we were very friendly with her and were interested in the story. But, and this, it's not on this train. This was, I think, last year or a year before that. But the Amtrak people ushered her out because she was kind of using salty language. But it wasn't us. We weren't offended at all by it, and we thought it was kind of nasty of them to do that.
Well, and in retrospect, she was doing really harrowing parenting there, and to convey that to the staff, they just saw it as, oh, this person is bringing a conversation into the dining area, which that may or may not be a good policy or worth enforcing, but the fact of the matter is exactly what you were saying. Like, we kind of knew what was up. She was telling us, but at the same time, she was very involved in her world, and it wasn't like a real sharing experience. That's
why I just think they should have warned her first before they kicked her out. And maybe they thought they were protecting us, but we didn't need protecting. We were fine with it. Whatever, these kinds of things happen. I don't consider that striking out, though. I consider that a failure of Amtrak system, or just people being overly protective, or just assuming, you know, that this African-American woman who's talking in an animated tone on the phone is bothering the rest of us, when nothing was further from the truth.
Well, that's the thing. It was like assumptions and kind of like miscommunications. And it didn't end up being in as much of a conversation as it could have been, mostly through misinterpretations of what was going on and who we are. Like, we roll with whatever, you know. If people are bringing certain energy to an interaction, we can meet that, match it, or come up with the inverse, whatever it takes. Like, we're pretty adaptable, and I think that, like, overly concerned staff may have just been overbearing in the moment.
Plus, she had a granddaughter with her. Remember that? We were trying to, you know, keep her entertained while her grandmother was on the phone, and she was really, you know, riding a train maybe for the first time. So, yeah, it wasn't very nice. This morning, though, we talked with somebody else who was from Brooklyn originally, but lived in Queens. We were talking about New York, race relations, and radio, and just all kinds of amazing things. She was elderly, couldn't eat a lot of things, but it was cool to kind of share experiences and ideas and humor.
Oh yeah, and like just the shared sort of commiserating of the state of the world in a knowing and humorous way, but definitely clued in, and a person who had lived a life and understood the ways of people and the world and just really interested in what we were about, and vice versa. We asked a lot of questions, and you could relate a lot more being also a New York native and knowing the area and the history much better than myself, but it was really engaging and fascinating.
And, you know, she was visiting her sister in a nursing home in Florida, and having her car down here in Florida to do that. Of course, she had to drive from New York to Virginia to get on the train in the first place, like we did. So everybody's been through some kind of adventure just to get on the train in the first place, and they're about to have another adventure once they get to their destination.
Yeah, and I just love the independence and the freedom that this is giving a person like that, that needs the mobility, but, you know, is also concerned to maintain connections with loved ones. And she had been doing this for many years, like over 10, 20 years almost maybe, and it's just impressive how easy and familiar she was with it. And for us, I'm glad we're learning it and getting insight from people like that so soon, while we can kind of enjoy it, because it's really kind of geared towards the snowbirds and the older set, but it does not mean you can't take advantage of it. And we were actually surprised in the boarding area in Lorton just how many families and you know, younger groups were gearing up and going off on their adventure. So it may be branded as for one type of passenger, but there's really a wide variety of people taking advantage of the experience and this form of travel.
A lot of kids going to Disney World, I think, too. And we're doing this as Easter is approaching, so probably a lot of people are off from school. We are getting closer to our destination. Should be arriving soon. I got to say, we're down here to visit some people, and of course the eclipse is coming up too. So we're going to pursue that. I didn't get much sleep last night, if I got any sleep at all, because this room, we couldn't turn down the heat, and it was hard to breathe, and eventually we just wound up opening the door so that some more air could come in, but, you know, you're supposed to keep the door closed in when you have a private room. So here I am, about to arrive, and probably have several more hours of driving to get to our destination ahead of us. So it's going to be one of those days where, you know, you're not sure if you got sleep. Did I get sleep? I can't remember any dreams I had. It's possible I just sat there the whole night. I'm trying to convince myself that, yes, I did get sleep. I'm fine. I should have no problem doing this. But who knows? Part of the adventure, I guess.
Yeah, and I'm really wondering if the new sleeper cars could come any sooner, because the configurations, I mean, normally in these smaller sleeping arrangements for overnight trips, one person at a time can move around in them. They're so cramped. And of course the bedding is oriented parallel to the tracks, which is always terrible for sleep. And the bedding is incredibly stiff, and pillows are terrible. I notice a lot of people bringing their own pillows, which we read it was recommended, but I cannot say it is the best sleep you'll ever get, and I think that's a very common take on these routes, but I don't think that's forever. I'm really hopeful that these will either be retrofitted, re-upholstered and rearranged, or otherwise replaced in the future, a very, how shall I say, near future.
Yeah, me too. I really hope for that. More space, you know, just able to move around a little bit. I'm glad we don't have one of those roomettes with the toilet next to the bed. That really was disturbing. Definitely we could use a little bit more flexibility as far as being able to move around. Anyway, that's pretty much it for us here on the auto train. We're arriving in moments. Hopefully we get our car back in one piece, drive across the state of Florida, and we'll pick it up when we have experienced something in this state.
Yeah, there's much adventure ahead. I'm sure we'll find some interesting places and sites to describe for you and bring to our listeners. But until then, thanks for listening.
So we made it we got our car back. I think our car was like the last car to get off the auto train too, because we were in this big crowded room and waiting for the car to be called, and just less and less people. And I think it was just us and maybe two or three more traveling people. And our car finally showed up and wasn't broken. It wasn't running the whole time, so I guess that's good. And here we are standing in a roadway median down in Florida, where it's warm, where it's sunny, where it's really bright and we can barely see anything.
Yeah, and the overall experience of the auto train really kind of eases you into your Florida experience. However, not everything about the auto train is going to prepare you for the next part of that, which is driving in Florida. You were doing a lot of that driving, and
I was doing all of the driving. I was doing 100% of the driving.
I'm quite thankful I wasn't. There were several moments that felt just wrong.
Well, can I point out, first of all, we had a tough time sleeping on the auto train because the room was too damn hot and we couldn't turn it off. So there was that. And, you know, like I said, one of those days I just wasn't sure if I was even getting any sleep. So there I am, you know, starting the day off, and I still have to drive. And it was good, like, you know, 3-4 hour drive through Florida. You know, we're standing in a place, by the way, on this median, and there are creatures here that I'm not familiar with. When we first got here, it's very green, a lot of grass. I saw something streak across the grass. I think it was some kind of lizard, but it was moving so fast, and you didn't even see it. But I know I saw it, and I don't know what it was. I want to say like a salamander or something, but I didn't know they moved that fast. I don't think there's any more of them because they're not moving. There could be an alligator too somewhere. We're looking for those. Don't see any. There's also wildcats, which I'd like to see a wildcat, but haven't seen those either. And I'm told there are bears here as well. So yeah, it's something. But okay, let's talk about the humans, because yes, I had to drive on little to no sleep across the state. And you noticed it too, Kyle. There seems to be a lot of anger on the road, and I don't know. I don't get it. I know we have New York plates. I'm not sure that's it, because you know there's three different kinds of New York plates right now. So you know you have to be pretty good at recognizing plates as you're passing people to know to treat them hostile. I think everybody was treating each other badly. I think that's what's going on. We were on a highway where the speed limit is 70, and basically I was doing something like 80, 82, and I was in the slow lane of, three lanes on each side highway, and, there was this pickup truck right on my tail, like a foot away, doing 82 and a 70 in the slow lane, and, I'm exiting. I'm exiting the highway. And what did the guy do when I left?
As he was passing, he flipped you off. And we have no idea why. It was just he had to make this gesture to you, but it was completely unclear what you had done other than just drive.
And I was speeding. Maybe he didn't like the fact that I was speeding. No, but he was speeding too. He was right behind me. And that wasn't the only instance. There were constant instances like this, nearly all of which involved pickup trucks. I don't want to, label people in a broad category, but for God's sake, there was this one instance where there was one pickup truck that came up on us so fast and swerved around us, leaving us in shock, followed quickly by a second pickup truck doing the same thing from the other side. Somebody dropped an oil tank, or an oil can, one of those quarts of oil that you get in the store. Dropped it on the road, so I have to swerve around that so it doesn't hit me. It bounces over the car and into another pickup truck, who then proceeds to race past me and flip me off again when I wasn't doing anything, and then gets in front of me and acts really aggressive. This all in the space of 30 seconds. I don't know what's going on down here, but boy, there's some anger issues that Florida needs to deal with. We haven't started any trouble. I haven't, yelled out abortion. I haven't done that. I haven't yelled out trans rights, Black Lives Matter. There's a lot of triggers here in Florida, a lot of triggers. I haven't done that.
Well, the other thing is with Stand Your Ground. I mean, if we feel like we're threatened, we can shoot them.
Well, okay, I don't know. I'm not clear on that, how that works. But, yeah, this is a stand-your-ground state. So if somebody thinks we're a threat to them, no matter where they are, they can shoot us. And that's okay.
But turnabout is fair play. We can also shoot them if we feel threatened. And there's a very low threshold.
Kyle,
we
don't have guns. That's the problem.
As far as anybody knows, yeah.
I've never said that sentence before, but that is not the problem.
I brought a wheelbarrow, okay?
I don't know what that means, but
we're going to go to a fair. And I think you win them as prizes.
What a weird place this is. Okay, the reason we're down here is because of the eclipse, okay? Otherwise, and visiting some people, we'd never come down here normally. But it's something, it tests you. Just the environment alone, it's so warm, it's so sunny. I was just feeling weird because of that, My head was feeling kind of tight and, just feeling overwhelmed with just all the heat and cars everywhere and leisure all over the place and palm trees and I don't say don't do it. It's a different environment. It's just kind of weird, and from New York we're not really used to it, but we're surviving.
Yeah, we're a little more nocturnal. We have overcast skies more frequently, so this is more daylight than we normally expose ourselves to. And that combined with the high temperatures and overall easy does it nature, it's an adjustment. It's a serious adjustment. But we're taking care of ourselves. We're not, you know, we're not getting absorbed into all the cultural rites of the area. Certainly, we have our boundaries, and we're staying hydrated, which is important. You got to drink a lot of water. But it is bizarre. It's a mode. The amount of, you know, like fast food and just huge portions. I don't feel like it's the healthiest thing.
A lot of eggs down here. Everyone has eggs for some. Well, it's Easter too, but there's just been a lot of eggs.
But there's a lot of like anti-aging ads and like superficiality. I know that's everywhere, but you just get the feeling that there's really this built-in customer base that gets preyed upon.
A lot of vasectomy ads too.
Yeah, I saw that vasectomy ads. That must be popular, given the breathtaking attack on women's rights that in places like Florida.
Women are people too. Gay people exist.
That's right.
Sorry, I can't resist. It's, you know, and DeSantis. DeSantis is in charge here. We are in DeSantis's realm. And that in itself is really, really disturbing, because he is just such an awful person. But, you know, we have our own DeSantises and our own Trumps. You know, our friend Bruce Blakeman, the Nassau County executive, he's been up to his old tricks. We're reading about this, you know, even on the other side of the country. This guy, this insane Trumper, racist, sexist, idiot, and I'm holding back, too, his latest plan is to appeal to people who have guns, who have gun licenses in Nassau County, to sign up to be part of a vigilante team. I'm not even making this up. He didn't use the word vigilante team, but it's basically a group of people that he can empower to be law enforcement agents with no training whatsoever when he decrees that it's an emergency. And he decrees an emergency when someone cuts him off in Taco Bell. It's ridiculous, the power that this guy is letting go to his head, but it's also dangerous. And we see things like this increasingly, and it's very disturbing to see it happening back home. And unfortunately, a lot of this simplicity is really taking hold. A lot of people are buying into false narratives, things like crime being out of control, things like refugees attacking everybody and making things dangerous. Things like the woke culture. That's right, I said woke culture, Florida. They're out of control and making us do all kinds of things that are against our nature. It's all nonsense. It's all crazy. It's all propaganda. And it's just insane to see how people are falling for it, to see Trump ahead in the polls. I don't get it. I don't understand it. It's like some kind of drug has been let loose in the system. You could not have anybody more unqualified, more evil, more unsuited for the job as Trump. And while I have so many disagreements with Biden, at least the guy listens. At least the guy changes, you know. I have a real issue with the pro-Palestinian demonstrators who are constantly interrupting Biden. I'm not saying don't interrupt Biden. Absolutely, do so. He's the president. And if you're upset with what he's doing, say something. You know, be loud. But why don't you ever do something to Trump? Why do you leave him alone? Why don't you attack Trump? Are you afraid of Trump? I mean, really, none of us should be afraid of him. He is the guy who orchestrated what happened this whole time. October 7th would never have happened had Trump and Netanyahu not conspired together to leave the Palestinians out of peace negotiations, you know, and do all kinds of controversial things that just simply turned the heat up. Now, he's actually got the gall to say it never would have happened under him. Well, it happened under him because he set it up, all right? And it's just ridiculous to give him a pass on this. It's disgusting. So, yeah, interrupt Biden, but interrupt Trump even more, because he sure deserves it. And, you know, this basically, I've noticed this on the left in general. Yeah, quick to criticize those closer to our positions. But those who are the real threat, those on the right, kind of leave them alone. Saw that in 2016. Saw that in 2020. See it all the time. So let's all wake up and attack the people who are really in danger of getting back in control. And doing God knows what to this country, because everything bad that you're seeing right now, that you imagine is happening and that is actually happening, came about as a result of policies that were instituted in a previous administration. And that's all I'm going to say about that.
Wow. Yeah, I'd fully be with you on that. I mean, that is exactly the kind of sentiment I think needs to be expressed in these parts and in other parts of the country. And the enablers and, like you said, setting up these militias and stuff, I mean, that's laying the groundwork for their fantasy of a civil war, and acting as though, I mean, look at the double standard. If liberals were assembling organized militias and sort of protection groups or whatever they're calling this thing, they would be labeling it as extreme and far radical. You know, they'd use all the same labels that actually apply to them. It's a form of unconscious projection, I think. And I'm curious, like, do they really imagine themselves getting anywhere were they to assemble like that? And do they really think there would not be resistance or, how shall I say, peacekeeping from the federal government?
Well, you know, first of all, if they take over the federal government, then no, there won't be. There'll be compliance. And as far as the people go, I have to say I'm very disappointed. I mean, we're looking at an election coming up where the guy who ended abortion rights in this country is leading the guy that wants to protect them for all time. How is that possible unless people either have no memory whatsoever or don't care? And either one of those is leading us down a very dark path. My only hope is that we wake up, that we get our act together, that we especially get people in those swing states to wake up, because they're the ones that make a difference. Unfortunately, you know, in our states, our votes don't really matter. They don't really count. It's a crazy system. But since we're pretty much assured that Biden will win in New York, convincing people to vote for him in New York, it's good, you should do it, but it's not going to change the election. Whereas if you can do that in Michigan, if you can do that in Florida, if you can do that in Arizona and various other places, you stand a much better chance of actually influencing the result based on the Electoral College. Crazy system, has to be changed, but that's what we got right now.
Yeah, I just feel there is some aspect of the Democratic machine that is waking up and organizing and really getting the messaging right. And this is the moment. It's time to circle the wagons on this clown. That people feel unhappy and they think this is the answer, but I think a whole huge segment of this country really needs to prove them wrong and let them air their grievances in other ways. But I absolutely will not be a victim to this. And I encourage other people to really wake up and try to express how express the folly in following a liar and criminal and someone who is really stands for the antithesis of this country and what we might deem a patriot. It's false patriotism, the kinds of castigation and unrest that they're fomenting. It's unforgivable. I've expressed as much as I can, and I will laugh all the way to the polls, you know, all the way to the ballot box. Hopefully,
I'm not sure what kind of image that'll create, but yeah, let's go for it.
Yeah, I mean, let the jokes ensue. They've proven that's all they are, and we'll continue to laugh at them.
Well, what they're not laughing at right now, have you noticed this? There's not a lot of old jokes for Biden anymore. After the State of the Union, that pretty much stopped. But the opposition is finding all kinds of other things to try and point the finger at. And even this recent bridge collapse, they're trying to blame on Biden somehow. I don't know how they're even trying to pull that off, but there's just no end to it.
Well, you know, I think the counter is we're just going to kill him with moderation. And I mean the spirit, at the very least. But being moderate, showing that we're grown-ups in this governance thing, and that it matters who is at the levers of government. I don't know. I'm kind of floundering because I feel like I've said variations of this so many different times on this radio program and in private conversations.
But never on a media in Florida before.
Oh, yeah. And that is terribly exciting. However, it's just, you know, I feel like I'm repeating myself in different ways. And I know that's not true for everyone. There's new listeners out there. There's people that have never heard WUSB before. We're just airing what I think a lot of people are feeling. Maybe they're afraid to say. I think that fear's got to go. I think people have to embrace realness and share realness about just how foul this has been and the distrust. I mean, I can't even imagine how we're going to get on, even if there is a Democratic win, because of the kinds of unrest that, like this local politician in Long Island is
Bruce Flakeman. Say his name.
Bruce Flakeman. Yeah.
Wow.
And there's just a lot of reason to even be concerned that a win may not make some of this go away. So we need to really win the cultural fight on this.
Well, yeah. My wish is that sanity prevails, Trump does not win, and that we kind of all calm down and start talking to each other again. That's my wish. I don't know how realistic that is, because certainly if Trump were to win, this country is doomed in my eyes. And I'm happy to be proven the fool years from now if that does happen and the country does great. But I just don't see how that's possible. And the other possibility is that Biden wins and the other side just doesn't accept it, and we have all kinds of civil war type things. So it's never been more important to get involved and to keep a level head.
Interesting you say doomed. I'm going to maybe be a little bit more pessimistic. I'm not clear that even a Democratic win will undoom the U.S. The U.S. has a lot of very huge systemic issues. We're doing all right, technically, in sort of a global sense. We're just trying to get to a place of equilibrium, of normalcy, of back on track. That does not mean that we do not have a lot of enormous difficulties ahead of us, and people suffering, people deserving of better lives. Absolutely. You know, we have to attend to our house. You know, we have to manage things much better. I'm not clear that anything presidential actually will be able to bolster and protect citizens from our own profit-seeking and our own forms of corruption across parties. I mean, that's a broader macro discussion. The point is to stay focused now on the very present issue to even have a chance at the kind of society we're seeking to better.
Okay, well, we're going to have to put a stop to this now because we're pretty much out of time. Programming note, while we are going to chase the eclipse and see it down here in Florida, we are not scheduled to be on the air next week. So next Tuesday would have been the day after the eclipse. So our journey to see the eclipse will be broadcast, I guess, in 2 weeks. So you'll hear the excitement then. But I am really looking forward to it down here.
You do know the eclipse is not going to be anywhere near Florida.
Wait a minute, what?